want you to take your copy of God's Word, whatever that is, iPad, iPhone, Bible, whatever. I want you to stand. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and I want to call your attention to verse 9 through 13. The Sermon on the Mount, right in the middle of it, Jesus says this. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I want to take a little time and I want to talk to you about principles of prayer. Principles of prayer. I gave my life to Christ when I was 16 years old. And the gentleman who led me to Christ, he came to our home one night about midnight. Conviction was on my heart. And he came to my home. And I got to be real transparent with you. I had been to church before that. I had been to church. And I believe I would have gotten saved. I believe I would have given my life to Christ before this point if they had not made me walk down the aisle. I simply did not want to walk down the aisle. I was bashful, I was timid, and I was shy. And I'd never heard that you could get saved anywhere. I thought you had to walk down an aisle and get saved at an altar. And so I never did it. One night about midnight, I told my mother, I said, "Mama, I'm miserable." And she called the pastor, and the pastor came. And the pastor said to me, he said, "Benny, you've got to pray the sinner's prayer." And you got to keep in mind, we ran nightclubs. We ran taverns. We sold whiskey illegally. Prayer wasn't something I was real familiar with. And I said to him, I don't know how to pray the sinner's prayer. He took his hands, and he took my hands, and he said, "Repeat this prayer with me." And he led me in the prayer. He simply said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry I want to change. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and I confess my sins to you." And I prayed that prayer. And it wasn't the length of the prayer, but it was the strength of the prayer that changed my life. It was the strength of the prayer that changed my life. And you know what? That's why I do the invitation just like I do it. Because I assume there's some guys out there just like me that perhaps don't know how to pray and they don't know what to pray. And that's why I put the cookies on the bottom shelf. But apparently, according to the book of Luke, this prayer was also in the book of Luke. And it says, "And it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place." Jesus was praying, and I truly believe they had never seen anybody pray like they saw him pray. The disciples saw him praying, and there was something different about his prayer that they desired it. And then they said, "Lord, will you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray? Teach us to pray." And the Lord said, "I'm going to teach you." And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We call it the Lord's Prayer. He's the one gave it. But it certainly wasn't the Lord's Prayer. Think about this. In that prayer, it says, "Forgive us our trespasses." It couldn't have been the Lord's Prayer. He was perfect. He never had to pray, "Forgive me." He was the perfect Son of God. That's why he could die for our sin. So it wasn't the Lord's Prayer. It was the prayer that he was teaching you, and he was teaching me how to pray. Now, I don't think the Lord is saying verbatim, "This is the prayer you pray. You just learn, memorize this prayer, and pray this prayer, and you're done." No, no. I think he was teaching us there's principles in the Lord's Prayer that I want each one of you to learn. There's principles that I want each one of you to learn. There's things I want you to pull out of this prayer, and I want you to appropriate into your life. And there's some things I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is this. I want you to see the person of prayer. The person of prayer. Look what the Bible says. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know who the person of prayer is? The person of prayer is your heavenly Father. You're a heavenly Father. You know, folks, I don't know what kind of father you had, but I do know this. Your view of God will determine your relationship with God. Your view of God. Listen, if you see God as this judge that's sitting up in heaven, and he's got this gavel, and he wants to beat you up every time you mess up, you're not going to have an intimate, close relationship with God. But I want to report to you, he's not that kind of God. I want to report to you, he's a God that loves you. I want to report to you that he's a God that's long-suffering. I want to report to you that he's kind. You need to read the prodigal son. I wish we wouldn't even call it the prodigal son, because really the story's not about the son. It's about the loving father. It's about the loving father. It's about that father that never gave up, that father that loved unconditionally. And what I want you to understand, John 1:11 says this. He came into his own and his own received him not. That's talking about Jesus first came to the Jewish people. But verse 12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know what it says, folks? It says we're children of God. We've got a wonderful heavenly father. I'm 53 years old, and I never had an earthly daddy, but I've got a wonderful heavenly father. And I found out he'll be a father to the fatherless. Amen? I found out there's nobody like the heavenly father. He loves us so much, and he cares so much about us. And folks, I pray that as you begin your prayer, if you didn't get anything out of my sermon but this, I pray that you will realize he's a loving heavenly father. And I pray you'll understand the person of prayer is somebody who loves you. It's somebody who's for you. It's somebody who believes in you. It's somebody who has a plan and a good purpose for your life. I see the person of prayer, but I want you to see something else. I want you to see the purpose of prayer. Now, notice what the scripture says. It says in verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, what the purpose of prayer is, the purpose is that we pray God's will. See, it should be God's agenda before our agenda. It should be God's agenda before our agenda. 1 John 5:14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What I'm trying to say to you folks, the purpose of prayer is for God's will to be done. So here's what we got to understand. When we go to prayer, we've got to understand that God's agenda has got to be before our agenda. God's agenda is before our agenda. Because we don't even know what the right agenda is. It's kind of like the guy that's out in the woods and a bear is chasing him, and he finally decides that he can't outrun the bear, and he resorts to prayer. And that's what we do, folks. Many times it's our last resort when it should be our first response. And he decided to pray, and he prayed this prayer, and he said, God, would you just make this bear a Christian? And about that time, he turned around, and that old bear had put its paws together. And that old bear said, bless this food to the nourishment of my body. See, folks, we don't even know what's best. But God tells us what's best. What is God's agenda, folks? What is his agenda? Number one, it's for the lost to be saved. It's for the lost to be saved. He tells us that in 2 Peter 3:9. What is God's agenda? It's for wisdom and guidance for those in authority. It's for wisdom and guidance for those in authority. According to 1 Timothy 2:1-2. According to that scripture, children, you're to pray for your parents. According to that scripture, you're to pray for your pastor. Hey, I need it. I need the prayer and you need the practice. Amen? I need it. According to that scripture, we're to pray for the president. Whether it's Obama or Trump, we're to pray for the president. According to that scripture, we're to pray for our boss. We're to pray for the teacher. We're to pray for the principal. We're to pray for the guard. We're to pray for the warden. We're to pray for those in authority, according to the Bible. The lost to be saved. The wisdom and guidance of those in authority. And we're to pray for your purpose, God. Your purpose for me today. Look what verse 10 says. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God, show me your purpose today. Show me your purpose today. I need you this very day. I need you this day. Down in my basement, I've got a place. I read a book back in 2012. I'll probably talk about it some in this series called The Circle Maker. And down in my basement, I've got a rug. And I've got a big circle there. I took a permanent marker, and I made me a prayer circle. And I go down there sometimes, and I get on that rug because the basement's not finished. It's a concrete floor. And so I just get on that rug, and I just pray. And I went down there yesterday, and as I was praying, God came to my mind. He just came to my mind. And I finished up. And I said, Barbara, I'm going to get ready and ride to Atlanta to the hospital. But I knew that guy wouldn't get off my mind. So I got in that vehicle, and I asked Julie to send me his number. I didn't have his number, but he was on my mind. And Julie, my assistant, sent me the number. And I called that number and I said, hello. He said, hello. I said, this is Benny Tate. He said, I know who you are. Why'd you call? I said, because I was on my knees in prayer. And you came on my heart. He said, I'm sitting here right now with a gun in my hand considering blowing my brains out. I said, friend, that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan for you. And we talked and we talked and we talked. And I said, have you put that gun up? He said, I've put it up. I said, I love you. Jesus loves you. Let me tell you something. Justice for me. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a plan for you. And we need to be sensitive to what God wants to do with our lives. See, I see the person of prayer. I see the purpose of prayer. But quickly, I see the provision of prayer. Look what verse 11 says. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? It means to depend on Him for everything. Think about this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What did God say? You put my agenda before your agenda, and your agenda will be met. Put my agenda before your agenda, and your agenda will be met. The provision of prayer. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I believe God would bankrupt heaven if it took that to meet our need. My favorite verse in the entire Bible, Psalms 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The provision of prayer. A little boy said to his daddy, I want a little brother or sister. He said, you need to pray. He prayed for a month. Nothing happened. He prayed for 2 months. Nothing happened. He prayed for 3 months. Nothing happened. He quit praying like we do many times. We pray, but we stop. 6 months later, his dad said, come go with me. Come go with me. Takes him down to the hospital. Pulls back the curtain. There's mama with the baby. Pulls back the curtain a little more, and there's another baby. Pulls back the curtain a little more, and there's a third baby. The dad said, "Son, aren't you glad you prayed?" He said, "Yeah, aren't you glad I stopped after 3 months?" The provision of prayer. But I want you to see the pardon of prayer. Look what verse 12 says. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." When we pray, God will bring things into our lives. God will show us things that are not pleasing to Him. And when He shows us those things that are not pleasing to Him, if we ask Him to forgive us, He will. That's why, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us." I'm so wonderful. I'm so grateful, folks, that there's pardon in the Lord. That we mess up when we do mess up. And I'm not advocating messing up, but I'm just saying God's willing to forgive us. But what does God do? Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 28 and 13. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." This is what I've learned. If you try to cover it up, if you try to cover it up, oh, you think you're fooling everybody. You're not fooling nobody. I've seen two people before. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. This hair's not dyed. It's really gray. I'm not opposed. No, I'm not picking on anybody that dyes your hair. Please don't go there. One woman said to her husband, "Will you love me when I'm old and gray?" He said, "I've loved you through four other shades. Sure, I would." No problem. But what does God want us to do? He wants us to confess, but look, and forsake them. Will God forgive me, Pastor Benny? Yes, He'll forgive you, but He wants you to walk away from it. He wants you to walk away. See, many times we want God to forgive us of our sin and take it away, but we want to leave a forwarding address. But it didn't work that way. You know how they catch monkeys on the South Sea Islands? They take a coconut and they drill a hole in the coconut, and then they tie the coconut to a tree. And the old monkey comes bouncing through there, and he smells the rice in the coconut. He smells that rice. And what that old monkey does, he takes his hand and he rams it down into the coconut to get the rice. But see, it's been drilled precise. It's been drilled precise. So when he starts to pull his fist out, he can't get away. And the coconut's tied to the tree. Now, what that monkey don't know, if he just let go of the rice, he could be free. You know why a lot of you are not free? You won't let go of the rice. You won't let go of her. You won't let go of it. You won't let go of the old friends. You won't let go of the old relationships. You won't let go of the old people. See, you want to hold on to the rice. But you hear me closely. You say, "Are you talking to me?" If your phone's ringing, pick it up. Listen to me. Listen. You won't let go of the rice. But if you let go of the rice, you could be free. See, there's "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." But there's something else I want you to see, and I'm almost done. That's a lie. All right. The protection of prayer. The protection of prayer. Look what the scripture says in verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." See, I want you to understand, the devil is no match for God. Don't think. Somebody said, "But Pastor Benny, there was a great war in the heaven, and boy, there was this great battle, and Satan was cast out of heaven." Well, you're right about partly. You're partly right. He was cast out of heaven, but there was not a great battle. Look what the Bible says in Luke. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils. No, no. It wasn't a great battle. God just gave him the finger. No. He was saying, don't get it in your mind. He's no match for God. God never almost lost a battle. Amen? Here's what I want you to understand. But you know how the devil wants to get at God? I'll tell you how he wants to get at God. He wants to get at God through what God loves. What does God love? He loves his children. You want to get at me? Do something to Savannah. Your tooth fairy will need a wheelbarrow if you do. Now, if you want to get at me, you do something. Listen, how's the devil want to get at God? His children. He wants to hurt his children. See, folks, we've got an enemy. And he wants to destroy you. And he's got a pattern. Let me give you his pattern. It starts out with desire. See, you got to understand, God gives you good desire. God gives you good desire, but Satan wants to satisfy those desires in perverted ways. You say, what are you talking about? See, thirst is good. Thirst is good. It really is. I mean, it's good, it's natural. But drunkenness is sin. Rest is good. You need rest. But too much rest is laziness. And there won't anything work in your life until you do. Work is a four-letter word that America needs to learn. See, sex. You say, well, you shouldn't talk about stuff like that in church. Well, why would I be ashamed to talk about what God wasn't ashamed to create? Sex is wonderful. It's God's ideal, and most of us are here because of it. And it's beautiful, and it's sacred, but the devil wants to pervert it. The devil will pervert it in my life. The devil will pervert it in your life. He wants to take what's wonderful and pervert it. What will the devil do? He'll take a desire, and he wants to satisfy it in a perverted way. And then that leads to deceit. James 1 and 14, I've got to move. Thank you, sis. I'm going to keep you in my wheel. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. What are our lust? 1 John 2:15 and 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It starts out with desire. It moves to deceit. It moves to delusion. Satan will delude your mind. He'll delude your mind into thinking what God says is wrong is somehow right. And then it moves to disobedience. James 1 and 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. This is all I'll say. Sin kills. Sin kills. Sin will fascinate, and then it will assassinate. Sin will thrill, then it will kill. And then it leads to disgrace. And disgrace yourself and disgrace your family. Let me tell you a prayer I pray. Let me share this, folks. This year, our church has led more people to Christ than ever in the history of it. More than ever. You say, Pastor Ben, it's been a great year, hasn't it? I'll be honest with you. Satan shot a lot of barrels at me. Because when you're doing something for God, he's coming at you. Let me. You say, well, does it bother you, Pastor Benny? No. Don't feel sorry for me. No. I don't want you. I don't want that. I want your prayer, but I don't want your pity, because see, if I'm not bumping into him, we're walking in the same direction. No. I want to bump into him. I hope he's mad. Amen. I want to bump into him. No. I don't want to walk in the direction of him. But let me tell you. There's a prayer that I've been praying for years. I'd recommend you pray. It's in Chronicles. This is the prayer. 1 Chronicles. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." What does that mean? Just bless my socks off. "And enlarge my coast. that thy hand might be upon me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil. Let me give you the last, and I'm almost done. That is the praise of the prayer. The praise of the prayer. Notice how the prayer ends in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. See, folks, we ought to end our prayer with praise. Because the reason why you end your prayer with praise, that expresses faith in God's ability. That expresses faith in God's ability. The person of prayer, he's my wonderful Heavenly Father. The purpose of prayer, God's agenda first. The provision of prayer, I'm going to depend on him to meet my every need. The pardon of prayer, Lord, I'm grateful you're willing to forgive me. The protection of prayer, God, deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me, I need you. And the praise of prayer, I'm going to praise you for who you are. I'm going to praise you for who you are. This is what I'll say. Somebody said, don't say I've learned. Say I'm learning. And I'd say I'm learning. I'm learning. You know, I've got one of our pastors who most of the time drives me. If we go somewhere, if anybody travels with me, I've noticed anybody travels with me as we're walking out to the vehicle, they'll always say, you want me to drive? You want me to drive? You want me to drive? I don't know what that means. But I've, this week, had a man that was dry. He's driven me a lot. Good man. And sometimes just sitting over there, I'll read or look at my phone or make phone calls. And sometimes I sing. I'll just start singing. And this week I was traveling. And to be honest with you, I've had some tough times. But that's okay. But this week I was traveling. And I just started singing. And when I started singing, I started crying. And I looked over at him and it looked like maybe he was crying. And I thought, I wonder if he's crying because he's blessed or if he's crying because how bad this sounds. But this old song was on my heart and I just started, I can't sing, I wish I could. But this song meant so much to me. And the old song says, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Who needs amber? Learning to lean. Learning learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. This is what I've learned, folks. I've learned when we go through the hard times, just to lean on Him. There's no power in ourselves. We're not sufficient. We're not able. We're no match for the enemy. We don't have the answers. Many times I don't even know what to do. But my eyes are upon Him. And I've learned just to lean upon Him. When it doesn't make sense, when it's not going like I think it should go, when it's not happening as quick as I think it should happen, I've learned just to lean on Jesus. Just to lean on Jesus when it doesn't make any sense. I wish I'd always, Barbara, I wish I'd always learned this, but I didn't always learn it. But I've learned it now. Just to lean on Jesus. Just to, oh, you say, I'm leaning on my husband. That you can only go so far. I'm leaning on my wife. You can only go so far. There's nobody like Jesus. Amen. There's nobody like Jesus. I'm just learning to lean. I'm just learning to lean. I'm just learning to lean on Jesus. Just for a moment. Every head's bowed. Every head's bowed. You can stand to your feet. Every head's bowed as you stand to your feet. Every head's bowed, and I'm not going to linger long. I'm not going to linger long. But I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I'm like you today. I need to lean on Him. I really need to lean on Jesus. I just really need to lean on Him today, Pastor. In light of what's happening in my life, I just really need to lean on Jesus. If that's you, hold your hand up real high. Hands up all over. Hands up all over. I just need to lean on Jesus. I just need to lean on Jesus. Just need to lean on Jesus. Now look at me. Every campus, look at me. Look at me. Just come to Jesus. Cast all your cares upon Him. And you know what I found? I found more power than I ever dreamed. I found more power than I ever dreamed when I leaned.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.